Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcast and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Good morning, church. My first prayer this morning is that the power will not go out since I'm standing here today, right? If you know, you know, right? All right. I'm Angela Cole, and usually on the church staff, I have the privilege of working with our team, doing the business side of things, HR, but this morning, I have the beautiful and humble opportunity to share God's word with you and seek his help in our families. If you joined us last week, you're aware that we started a new series entitled Relationship Goals, and for some of us, that was a new concept. Right? We set goals for a lot of things, but relationship goals was new. And today we're going to dig even deeper and look at family goals. For some of you, just hearing the word family evokes all kinds of emotions, right? It could be joy, it could be happiness, it could be sadness, it could be fear or anticipation, anywhere from thanksgiving to angst, delight to grief. The mere mention of family may bring some of us to tears of joy and others to tears of regret. Let's pray. Father God, this morning, I first and foremost thank you that we can be part of your family. That, Lord, when our mother and our father may have forsaken us, that you have not and never will. So, Father God, this morning, I lift each heart in this room. God, it is true, the subject of family is tender. It's tender for me this morning. And Father God, I just lift each one of us and ask that the God that we just praised, you, Lord, the one who can do the impossible, the one that we cry out, be magnified, would be magnified this morning, and we'd be magnified in our families. That's a God job. So do what only you can do this morning. And it's in your holy name we pray. Amen. All right, so I have a disclaimer. Pastor Kevin did not ask me to bring this message because the Coles have this all figured out. If you know us, you know that that's not the case, right? I don't have it mastered as a mom, as a wife, as a daughter, as a sister, or even as a friend in the family of God. But when I get the opportunity to share, you know what? Most likely the message is for me. So know that this morning. And I'm pretty sure the reason that Kevin really asked me to do this message is because we are in the throes of parenting with all the ages, right? So here's a picture of my family. It's not super big, but Gwenna would have chosen this picture, so I was kind to her. I would have picked others. But as you can see, there is my handsome husband and my college sweetheart and husband of 27 years, my daughter Gwenna, who is a freshman at Liberty, my son Eli, who's a sophomore at East Rock, and our little Joy Ivy, who is 4 and in preschool. Yes, you can laugh. It's real. Yeah, it's all right. So on a day-to-day basis, we have a variety of challenges in our home, as you can imagine. Trying not to check Life 360 too often for the one who's in Lynchburg, right? The letting her go and figuring out where we fit in her life and how much advice to give and not to give. Figuring out what a 15-year-old boy even thinks and what half the words he says even mean. I will tell you, on a daily basis, that is a challenge. And for us with Ivy, it's training to pick up toys, or no, you don't get to buy something at Target, or could you just eat enough protein to keep all of that energy supplied? The challenges are different, and they look different on every day, but it certainly brings us to Jesus. The second picture there is just a picture of them that I love. I don't want you to get distracted this morning and miss the scripture and miss the truth of this, so I'm going to tell you so you're not trying to guess or calculate. I was 44 when Ivy was born. Just get it out of the way, okay? I was 44. And for those of you that love statistics, there is only a 2 to 3% chance that two 44-year-old folks, a married couple, can even conceive a child naturally at that age. And it's even less when it's being prevented. So, again, now that that's cleared up, I will tell you that I call that our only God. Only God can do that. That's our only God story, right? So, and though we had never imagined that surprise in our family, we have seen the goodness of God. And I'm going to remind you this morning that the same God that did that for us is at work in your life. And no, it doesn't mean that all of you will have babies in your old age. It just means that He is working in the things that you may not even know you need. He's working in the crevices of your family in a way that only He can do. So last week, Kevin shared that when the world was created, we saw how God places us, how He provides for us, how He gives us purpose and parameters, and how this is the place we should find our identity, right? We are not to speak anything over ourselves, and we're to give away those images of anything that is not spoken over us by God. We are to find our identity in Him, and this is the key for any healthy, vital relationship. And honestly, I wish somebody would have told me this when I was a young wife. It would have saved Michael Cole a lot of grief, right? I would have found more of myself and more of that fulfillment in the Lord instead of looking to Him. So young people, listen to me this morning. Get that identity in the Lord right as you seek those future relationships. Don't wait. Don't wait. So what is family? Family is a group of people who are related to each other, including parents, children, and close relatives, according to Oxford. Another source defines it as a group of persons united by the ties of marriage, blood, or adoption, constituting a single household, and interacting with each other in their respective social positions. Usually those of spouses, parents, children, and siblings. And we know this morning, because the beauty of adoption, that also means the family of God. Marriage and family are God institutions. God created the family when He made the first man and the first woman, telling them to go be fruitful and multiply. God wastes no time developing family, and marriage is the foundational unit of our society. Shortly after He created marriage, and after He created man and woman, we see sin enter the scene. Self-sufficiency also entered, and so did family dysfunction. The effects of sin destroy families and society, wreak havoc, create unimaginable suffering, and lead to many Christless lives in society. In Genesis 4, again, this starts really early in Scripture, right? We only make it to Genesis 4 before we see and meet Cain and Abel, Adam and Eve's first and second born. In Genesis 4, 3 through 5, we see that God favors Abel's offering over Cain's. In chapter 4, 6 through 7, the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face so downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." God was already bringing warning to help the family. God was already saying, "Choose me." But Cain chose otherwise. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let us go out into the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother and killed him. This is when Cain also ran away to avoid punishment, creating yet more challenge and more hurt. We see that in our families, right? One thing leads to another. This is not to discourage us this morning, but to remind us, as soon as sin entered the world, so did the battle within and for families. Though today's challenges look a little different than favoring an offering over another, Jealousy is what really spurred that on, right? And jealousy is a hurt that still reigns as destructive, and the family is in battle. Life, Hope, and Truth research reveals that some of the greatest and top threats that we come against in our families today are materialism, secularism, and negative media influence. And this was in the last 10 years, so can you imagine how it's only increased? Materialism, keeping our families focused on acquiring things and convincing our children that that's where happiness comes from. Remember that Target run I talked about? That's real. Secularism, 25% of Americans claim no religious affiliation compared to only 6% in 1991. That's a scary statistic. Negative media influence, not only bringing constant unwholesome influence into the family, but also keeping our families from interacting. But we all know the ultimate enemy is not a physical enemy, but a spiritual one. And God brings us warning as well. Be alert, he says in 1 Peter. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Do you feel this morning? Is it real to you and your family? So why is the enemy so focused on us? This quote from John Pale sums it up for me, because God designed the family to fill the earth with his glory. Let's say that again. God designed the family to fill the earth with his glory. And I will tell you, I feel that responsibility this morning, but I also know I can't do that on my own. But it also gives me and fulfills me and makes me to want more of him, right? That is our calling this morning. That is our calling, to fulfill this goal of God. So let us visit our brother Joseph and see how this played out in his family. Now, his story takes up 14 chapters in Genesis. So, though I would love nothing more than to read and dissect that with you this morning, Kevin may never ask me to preach again. So, I'll give you a quick summary. Joseph, in Genesis 37 through 50, we see he was the son of Jacob and his dear beloved wife Rachel, grandson of Isaac and great-grandson of Abraham. And most of us know that means he came from a godly heritage, right? He came from a lineage that meant he knew of God. He knew what God needed and wanted from him. And so Jacob, as Joseph's father, got derailed. He was sucked in by culture and by the focus of polygamy in that culture. And the man, bless his heart, chose to have three wives at the same time. Now, if any of you men are sitting in this room and think about what just one wife might require, I know, you can laugh, it's okay. I know that, but three at the same time, that's not a good idea. Joseph was a favored son. Jacob loved him and favored him more because he had him in his old age, which it does bring something to that child, but he had him in his old age and he had him with his beloved wife, Rachel. He gave him a special coat, which further fueled his brother's resentment. Joseph also had the gift of prophetic dreams, and he had a dream where he bowed down, his family bowed down to him, and which he openly shared. I have to just pause and tell you all that. In Scripture, he not only had this dream, but he said, guess what? I dreamed you were going to bow down to me. Every time I read that, I cringe and think, oh, Joseph, just shh. Let's not talk about it. But he interpreted this dream as a sign of future power, further angering his brothers. He was sold into slavery. Due to that jealousy, Joseph's brothers sold him to traitors who took him to Egypt, where he was sold to Potiphar, an Egyptian official. He encountered false accusations and imprisonment. When Joseph resisted Potiphar's wife's advances, see, it just keeps getting more complicated. She falsely accused him of rape, and it led him to imprisonment. But if you see there, he stood firm in Christ. While in prison, he had the opportunity to interpret some more dreams, those of Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker. Pharaoh, troubled by a dream, summoned Joseph to interpret it, and which revealed the coming famine that Egypt would soon face. Impressed by Joseph's wisdom, Pharaoh appointed him as second in command over all of his kingdom, allowing him to prepare Egypt for famine. He then had reunion with his family. During the famine, Joseph's brothers came to Egypt to buy food, and he revealed himself, ultimately forgiving them and saving their lives. So, wait a minute. Let's relook at this. After jealousy leads to his brother selling him, he covered it. They lied to his father. There was more jealousy, anger, separation, and loss. Joseph forgives his brothers and in turn reunites his family. Yes, that's what happened as he stood firm in God. Throughout Genesis, Joseph's story showcases God. And he, despite being sold into slavery and falsely accused and imprisoned, he relied on the Lord. He remained in him in the time of chaos, in the time of disappointment, in the time of failure, what felt like failure. His forgiveness of his brothers in Genesis 45 is a powerful example of how he trusted God's plan in the midst of that betrayal. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, says Genesis 39, 2 through 3. And he was in the house of the Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all he did to succeed in his hands. I chose this scripture out of it because it reminds us that the Lord was with Joseph. Now, the Lord would choose to be with all of us, but this reminds us that Joseph chose to stay near to him in the midst of it all. It also shows us here that his master saw the Lord was with him. So through all of the chaos, all of the betrayal, all of the separation, he was a witness. What do you imagine his trajectory would have been had he not chosen God in the midst of that? What if he would have not chosen to care for his family? When you're asked to speak on family, you naturally reflect on your own. So, for the sake of time and honor of those in my family this morning, I'll give you a simple glimpse of our structure. Now, there's a picture I just thought would thrill you. Some of us needed to just be reminded. That's an Olin Mills picture. Anybody remember Olin Mills? Yeah. Yeah, you know. If you also will look, that was before anybody taught me how to manage my curls. And the claw on the top of my head was so big that it disappears in the color of the picture. Some of you know what that claw means. Anybody? Some of you know. Some of you are that age and you had that and you used the Aquanet and you did the teasing. So that is my dad, my stepmom, and me at about age 14 and my sister Ashley. The next picture is just one of a favorite picture I have of my mom and myself with Gwenna when she was little. My parents were divorced when I was 2, and my stepmom entered my life around 3 or 4. When I was 13, my life as an only child ended when my beautiful and fabulous sister entered the world, though I did not always think that when she was 2 and I was 15. Early on, I will share that I labeled my family as happy dysfunction. If you know me at all, you know I like things to be well and tied up with a bow. That is just my heart's desire. But the truth of the matter is, in the division of my family and circumstances, things were not always happy. Often, that pretty bow I desired was pushed aside, stepped on, or even taken off. So here, though this is certainly not all of my family, there's so much good. This is certainly not an adequate description of them, but here's what I want to tell you most this morning. Here in the midst of our family circumstances and this structure is where I discovered that I needed Jesus. I was desperate for him, his care, his comfort, his truth, his constant presence, his love, his strength, his grace, his all. So because of those family circumstances, I found him. That is where my foundation in Jesus began. Do you let your family story take you to Jesus this morning? Do you let those stories, those memories, take you to him? If you're from a family of godly heritage, do you allow him to keep you there? To remain in him? If you're from a family and your story is one that you would have rather have been written different, Do you let your story lead you to Jesus? Regardless of our past stories or what we are currently living, there is a family goal that we can all choose. And that is our heart this morning. The family goal I would ask that we would first choose together this morning is, regardless of my family stories and circumstances, I will let them take me to Jesus. So what does this look like, Angela? Well, that'll be different for all of us, right? Our stories are different. It could mean a fresh decision today. It could mean a declaration. It could mean forgiveness for the first time in a very long time. It could mean that we cry out and we never have before with those past memories. Let me say this as well. As we choose forgiveness, that does not mean that forgiveness always means reentry. God gives us wisdom in that and helps us to learn the boundaries that are necessary. It also may mean that you are crying out to God right where you are, right in the moment, right in the face of a family situation. I remember when my older ones were little, there were times that I would think, I just want to put them on the porch for just a little bit, right? And lock the door. I didn't want to leave them long, right? Anybody? I know you feel me. Listen, and I would just feel this like, I need help. Oh, goodness, I look out there, my daughter's three-year-old teacher, she about quit. I mean, I'm telling you, it was real. And I remember crying out to the Lord, and my dear friend Carrie said, just start praying over him in the midst. Just start talking to Jesus when the battle is happening. And so I took that to heart. Now, my children thought I was crazy, and I still do it today, and they still think I'm crazy, but that's okay. They'll do it one day with theirs, I hope. So I remember one particular day that the sass and the back talk and all the appropriate developmental things were happening. And I thought, well, I'm going to take it to heart. And I just laid flat down on my floor and started crying out to the Lord. And I heard Eli tiptoe in the room, and I heard him scream, Gwenna, she's praying again. You know what? And I thought to myself, boy, and you better be glad. You better be glad that your mama's praying, because that porch keeps looking better and better. So it could be in those moments, right? It could be in those moments where you're just like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do, and what I want to do is not what I should do, right? It could be in the disappointment with a child. It could be longing for your own family. Whatever your story is, that's what you take to Him. That's what you allow to take to Him and turn to Him. And guess what? He waits on it all. He waits on it all. And there's one other goal I'm going to ask us to commit to together this morning. Goal number two, regardless of where my family is now, the future will be for the glory of God. Do you know that that's possible this morning? Some of you may be sitting in these seats and you think, Angela, not for me. I've gone too far. I've hurt too much. There's too much brokenness. Well, guess what? That's not true when God and you allow God to enter in. Joseph tells us the story about our family direction changing with Jesus. And I know that my family's story can be different because of Jesus. But guess what? It starts with me. It starts with you. Now, I want to share this morning that I rejoice because I never, just like Joseph, knew what the ending of my family would be. I never knew exactly how that would look, that family in Dublin, Virginia, my dad, my stepmom, all of that. But let me share with you that I remember the day when Mike and I lived in Tennessee and my dad called me. My dad was 56 years old and he had been a PK. He called me and I answered the phone and he said, girl, I got to tell you, the good Lord saved my soul today. The good Lord saved his soul. And then, within the last 3 years, my dad and stepmom have chosen Christ together and have chosen baptism and have joined a church. And when we go home, we all get to worship together. Only God. Another only God story. So what I want to say to you this morning is never give up. That one that's on your heart and your mind right now, don't give up. Don't stop praying and don't stop believing that the days ahead can be for God's glory. We also need to hear this morning. Goals require God's help. This is not about mustering more strength and striving. This is about letting God help you. And Psalm 121 tells us, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. That's who's helping us. That's who we can call out to, right? That's who we need to make these goals possible. The same helper that came alongside me as a child and was present with me is the same one who continues to help me raise these three babies. Right? Is the same one that continues to help me to be a better wife, a sister, a daughter, a friend. Do you guys remember David? He wrote most of Psalms. I'm sure you know him. So let me just tell you, he is known as a man after God's own heart. And if you know his story, you may even question that title, because the man succumbed to so many temptations that led to dysfunction and destruction. But guess what? He can be named that. He can be called a man after God's own heart because he returned to God. And he returned to God. And he returned to God. Right? That's for us this morning too. Right? That wasn't just for David. I want us to watch this video together as these men in this video, some of you have seen this movie, chose the same thing.
My son in the faith, I took joy in mentoring you as a young man, and today I take joy in blessing you as a godly father. Are you ready to make this commitment before God and your family?
Yes, I am.
Then I'd like for you to repeat after me. I, Nathan Hayes, do solemnly resolve before God.
I, Nathan Hayes, do solemnly resolve before God.
To take full responsibility for myself, my wife, and my children.
That I will take full responsibility for myself, my wife, and my children.
I will love them, protect them, and serve them.
I will love them, protect them, and serve them.
And teach them the statutes of God as the spiritual leader of my home.
And teach them the statutes of God as the spiritual leader of my home.
I will be faithful to my wife, to love and honor her.
I'll be faithful to my wife, to love and honor her.
And be willing to lay down my life for her, as Christ did for me.
And be willing to lay down my life for her, as Christ did for me.
I will teach my son to love God with all of his heart, all of his mind, and all of his strength.
I will teach my son to love God with all of his heart, all of his mind, and all of his strength.
And I will train him to honor authority and live responsibly.
I will train him to honor authority and to live responsibly.
I will confront evil, pursue justice, and love mercy.
I will treat others with kindness, respect, and compassion.
I will work diligently, provide for the needs of my family.
I will forgive those who have wronged me and reconcile with those who I have wronged.
I will walk in integrity as a man answerable to God.
I will seek to honor God, obey his word, and do his will.
As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Now that each of you has committed to live by this resolution, I bless you in the name of the Lord. But I also have a warning for each of you. Now that you know what you are to do and have committed to do it before God and these witnesses, you are doubly accountable. Let me also assure you that you may have confidence in this resolution and your resolve now, because as you stand here, there's no challenge, no controversy, and no conflict. But I can assure you that challenges will arise, conflicts will arise, and controversy will arise. It is at that moment that in order to live out this resolution, you will need courage. Courage, courage.
So just as these men turn to God in trauma and moral challenge and more, they also made a decision for the rest of their days would be for God's glory. So I invite you, along with me, to commit to these goals this morning. Regardless of where my family story is, regardless of my family story and circumstances, I will let them take me to Jesus. We do not have to stay trapped, hurt, bitter, afraid, or unsure. Whatever victory or challenge we're facing, we can determine to let Jesus be our help. Regardless of where my family is now, the future will be for God's glory. We can start this day saying that our goal will be for God's glory, and the first step is surrender. And now, I'm going to ask you, do you have other personal goals for your family? Pastor Kevin asked me this same question as we discussed the message this week, and I'll share my goals. I'll share my heart's goals with you this morning. First, the slide's going to come up. My first goal will be that I will be as hip and lively when Ivy is 18 as I am right now when Gwen is 18. Yes. Did y'all not think that was funny? Listen, first of all, Gwen is going to be mortified that I use the word hip at all. Right? However, that may be funny, but I do desire to be full of life as the Lord allows me to raise this little precious girl. The next one is each of us would know and love Jesus deeply and personally. We will love one another well and reflect Christ starting at home. My kids will always want to come home. And our family will be light and draw others to Jesus. As I looked at these goals this week, I confessed to the Lord, these are simply desires of my heart, Lord. I'm not sure that I can call them goals. And he reminded me that when we surrender our heart's desire to him, with his help, they can be our goals, right? When we surrender these heart desires and these longings that we have to him, they can be our goals. So will you join me this morning in seeking family goals for your family? Grandmas, grandpas, moms, dads, single parents in the room, step parents, adoptive parents, foster parents, teens, sisters, brothers, sons, daughters, what are your goals this morning? What has the Lord whispered to you in this place? As we sing and worship to close our service this morning, we have cards at the altar, we have cards on tables. And as we sing this morning, I would ask that you would respond, that you would come and take a card, and that can be back to your chair with your family, or that can be kneeling, but would you seek him? Would you seek him and say, Lord, I need you in my family this morning. I commit to these goals to let my story bring me to you, and that the rest of my days will be for your glory. But what is it for you? I have other goals individually for my husband and I, for each of my children, right? You can think about each of your children right now and think, oh, Lord, this would be my goal. And ask the Lord where you fit in that and what your responsibility is. So as we sing this morning, I ask that you would come. Would you run to the Father with me this morning?
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.